Hi, welcome to my podcast. I'm Dr. Lauren Goodall. I'm a clinical psychologist, and this is Psychology in Short. Okay, well, I'm pretty hyped to do this one, and that's code word for me for ticked. But I have some good reasons, and hopefully you'll want to hear them, okay? I come across subject matter in my field, and when I see things that don't line up, and I think that's just anybody in the field that they work in. It's kind of like when you see a lot of bad information keep getting groundwork, or, you know, it just keeps getting paved in the wrong direction. It's kind of frustrating because there's people you want to help. And if there's a lot of bad intel out there, you know that there's going to be a lot of collateral damage. And the collateral damage that we don't want is people not doing well, or even worse, okay? People giving up on treatments because they're not working. So for those of you who are not familiar with me, my background is mood disorders. That's depression, anxiety, panic, and bipolar. And over 20 years ago, actually over 25 years ago, I more or less was working with people who had depression, people who had anxiety, and I started to notice in my practice that people would get better on an antidepressant, and then they kind of fell off, you know? It just kind of stopped working, or the dose had to be increased, and then maybe increased again, but we weren't seeing benefits from these increases. And I thought, wow, how many points can we increase these things? You know, I'm not a psychiatrist. That means I've never prescribed. I have collaborated with psychiatrists and medicine professionals, nurse practitioners, all of that. But no, I do not prescribe. I always just say I'm the eyeballs on the patient, but I've been the eyeballs on the meds as well. So if you can learn something from seeing all of that, and as I said, I've had over 25 years in the business of watching clients with mood disorders predominantly, and a heavy percentage of that was the bipolar, people with bipolar. The hard part about the equation when I came into it was it really wasn't understood well. And bipolar looked one way and only one way. Basically, they gave people characteristics more than anything else, and all of them were derogatory. So it was really offensive, you know? And you wonder why you have stigma. I mean, they'd call them crazy. They call them unreliable. That, you know, you name it. It was attributed to a person, you know, these negative characteristics were attributed. And it got old from my end because I knew it was a bit more complicated than that. And people were just looking at, quote, behavior. Just look at the behavior. Just look at the behavior. Behavior will give you an indication of something, but not all things, okay? Shaping behavior is important. But when people's behavior doesn't get shaped, shame on you, because you are looking at the wrong thing, okay? Like I said, I'm a little amped up today, so I hope people can take it in the right context. I've always been the advocate for my clients in the sense that I've advocated for their medications when they're not working. I've had to question psychiatrists. Keep in mind, I'm a clinical psychologist, okay? That's a doctor of psychology, a PsyD. And, you know, I've had to go in and say, hey, I don't think this looks like this. And, you know, it's not real popular because the MD is considered the holy grail in psychiatry. And they're great at all medical factors, and that, you know, psychology is understanding the mind, how it works, and taking into account biochemistry and behavior, changing thinking, all of those things. And psychiatry is the ability to basically look at the medical functioning of the body and prescribe medications. Okay, so the psychiatry and psychology would always interact for obvious reasons. They needed to. So what I came across today was no surprise to me. As I said, you know, I kind of came into this field and it was working with people who are getting depression and anxiety. And we noticed that people weren't getting better. And I noticed they get better for a little bit. And then we changed the antidepressant. Let's try it again. Okay, now let's just add some anxiety meds to this because there's this breakthrough panic that keeps kind of coming through. And first of all, if you understood me at all, I'm very conservative about meds, okay? I was never a fan of people being, you know, layered on meds. That didn't make sense to me. I always felt that if you have to layer somebody on meds, then you don't have the diagnosis right, okay? Something is missing. And I also believed in short-term therapy. And so I wanted to get people better faster. And so with that, I ended up coordinating with a psychiatrist. I call it luck, fate, or God. Okay, I call it all of the above. He was an outlier in terms of understanding bipolar. We're going back 25 years, okay? In the books at the time, it looked like X, okay? X was moods with higher elevation or depression, okay? There was like nothing in between. And so many people never fit that criterion, okay? Like, not many, okay? In terms of the bigger picture. But that's all we knew, okay? And basically, coordinating with him, I'm saying, hey, you know, these people are getting better. And then all of a sudden, we got to raise this antidepressant. This wasn't his work. This was watching what people in the field were doing with my clients in terms of psychiatry. And I'm saying, something's not right. Something's not right. And he's like, Lauren, this anxiety section you're talking about, or this subsection right here, this is actually bipolar. And I'm saying, okay, but where is it printed? And he basically laughed at me. This is a guy who's, you know, he's got a full practice. I've got a full practice. And he says, well, it's not printed anywhere. I'm like, oh, that's going to be an easy sell. Okay. I'm courageous, but, you know, that's not the easiest sell. It's not printed anywhere. Just kind of trust you. But I did see that his clients were doing better in the area than so many other clients that I had access to in terms of my colleagues, my professional colleagues, how their clients were doing. I'm like, how are your clients doing on this stuff? How are your clients doing? And that's kind of how you get information about, you know, so it wasn't just about how the clients were doing. Were they doing better on certain meds over other meds? Blah, blah, blah. Comparing symptom profiles, that kind of thing. So he's like, yeah, he says it's a form of bipolar. It's not published. Actually, we were about 5 or 6 years before it actually came out published. But I spoke with my clients and I said, look, this part's better. This part isn't. And usually these people came in with depression. Okay, that was their hallmark. These were professional people. Okay, these were people with high-end jobs and they'd get this depression and it just kind of stink and then it would improve and that would fall out and then it would improve and that would fall out. And then you get some panic in between and then we'd kind of recalibrate. And so I said, hey, I said, would you be willing to work with this psychiatrist? Because we think we want to go at it a different way. And they were like, yeah, we'll try something different. And they did. And to make a long story short, it ended up being a career, a real solid career in an arena that I never expected. I wasn't knowledgeable of it, just minimally. And basically what I saw was so many derivatives of this thing called bipolar. But it was hard because we technically, well, I'm going to give the credit to him. He was ahead of his time, okay? But I was great at learning it and seeing it in my clients, and then we collaborated and people got better. So it was a great storyline. And so I learned how to spot it in so many different ways. If I had just read the literature that was out there, there was nothing good that was describing it. It was just like, I'm looking at the literature because I love research. I'm like, no, That's not what my clients look like. No, that's not what my clients look like. So, okay. So hit fast forward. As I said, I've worked over 25 years with clients and getting people better. And that was my bottom line. Okay. I wanted to see people improve, because if you don't get people improved, they're going to give up on treatment. And if they give up on treatment, there's a good chance they're going to give up on their life. Okay. And it's a heavy load. I've always been good at talking to people in the trenches. In fact, that's pretty much all I've known most of my life. And sometimes I call it a blessing. Sometimes I call it a curse. Okay. But at the end of the day, I've always appreciated my clients, and I wouldn't have stuck with it if I didn't see people getting better. And that's what has made the difference to me in my life. Seeing people improve, not seeing people stacked with layers and layers of meds. It just irritated me, because I was like, this can't be right. Something is missing. So fast forward to today. If you look up the amount of years it takes to get a bipolar diagnosis, hang on to your shorts. One article out of the UK says 9.5 years. I didn't say 9 months, okay? I didn't say 9 weeks. 9.5 years. And you might say, well, that was out of the UK. Maybe these people are slower or something. No offense to anybody in the UK. I think they're quite on top of their stuff. What are some articles in the US? They're not any prettier, okay? They're 8. If you're lucky, you might find the article on 7, okay? But the bottom line is we aren't getting a large segment of this population treated correctly. Now, what really kind of irked me is I know the reason why, okay? I battled it 25 years ago. And, you know, when you start something that's kind of ahead of trend, you're going to catch some crap, okay? But the results worked. And that always, to me, makes it work. That always makes it valuable. Fortunately, like I said, I had clients that did well. So, you know, you just have people like, what? How can this be bipolar? I'm like, take away what you think you know about bipolar. Let's just break up these pieces and let's just see if these pieces make sense for you. I don't care what label we call it. Some of these labels just aren't very effective. I mean, we want them to diagnostically fit, and that's very important. And we have a manual called the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. And as I said, psychiatry rules and psychology obviously is basically follows anything in psychiatry. That's what we do. So when we are dealing with this idea that people are not getting better in a timely fashion, okay, that what does that also mean? People giving up on treatment. What does that also mean? That means people are going to get suicidal. In fact, the rates for suicide are a lot different between depression and bipolar. Bipolar has much higher rates. Why? Because people aren't figuring it out fast enough. And so that upset me, because I'm saying, my gosh, all these years. And I look at the statistic and I'm irritated, because basically a list of definitions that are wrong. Okay. Statistics does have errors. And the bottom line is, the reason why I know it's wrong is if they're saying that 8 years, 7, 8 years, at least to get a proper diagnosis for bipolar, A, who's diagnosing these people, okay, and who's deciding, okay, this stuff is coming, you know, basically straight down. MD's leading the game on this one, and no offense to MDs, like I said, you have a medical condition, you go straight to your doctor, he tells you, she tells you what you got going on, and that's great. and we need that. But when it comes to bipolar, the definitions, the researchers, that could be the PhDs, that could be anybody who's defined the statistics, there's several layers involved in this mess, okay? But the bottom line is if the people who are prescribing the medication don't get it right, they're the ones who are going to give them the wrong medication, okay? They're the ones who are going to be more frustrated and not seeing their clients get better. So that's a huge problem. So we're still looking at 7, 8, 9.5 years for a person to get diagnosed with bipolar. And as I said, there's a couple different reasons for that. But I find all of those reasons unacceptable. And I'm going to show you some reasons why. And I'm also going to tell you how you can do it. Okay. It shouldn't take anybody 9 years. It shouldn't take anybody 9 months. Okay. Is it a little tricky? Yes, it really is. Okay. And why is it tricky? It's tricky because of the words and the definition of the words. Now, what I had seen, and I'm not going to start naming organizations of, I mean, these are all big end work organizations. Okay. These are not small organizations. Okay. They are confusing. They are places that you would go to for information. Okay. So if you look up a division of bipolar that we call bipolar 2, that's where you really see a lot of mess. Because this is, bipolar 2 is basically looks like depression, acts like depression. It has low energy, low motivation. It is mostly that. But within this diagnosis category, they use these terms mania and hypomania interchangeably. These are two very different words with two very different presentations. Okay, to use those words interchangeably, and like I said, I'm finding it in article after article, and these are medical articles, and then the psychological articles pick them up just the same, and now basically we have new graduates using bad intel so we can continue the failure rate in terms of the bipolar 2 diagnosis, okay? And so I'd like to clear some of that up, at least from what I've seen and what I've seen with my clients. So, how do you distinguish a bipolar 2, a depression? The big problem is separating depression from bipolar, okay? It is like, I call it the trip hazard, okay? It looks like depression, it breathes like depression, it has a little anxiety to it, okay? And what we call that is comorbid. Comorbid means disorders that like to hang together. I call them the groupies. You get some depression, you get some anxiety, okay? It's just which is leading the ship. But, okay, so a comorbid disorder is whatever hangs with that disorder, okay? So if you have depression, you're going to have some anxiety. Usually, like I said, they hang together, all right? But the definitions have described mania and hypomania, okay? Manic means super high energy. They say elevated mood, okay? Elevated mood, okay? Racing thoughts. Mania is basically, if you took the volume control, okay, on your device, and amp something up when you listen to your music, you just crank the volume, right? Okay, when you crank the volume, the intensity is just, it's a lot more intense, right? Now, if you dial it back down, okay, it's a lot less intense. So, hypomania is the low, low volume stuff. But the trick bag with hypomania is you're never going to recognize it. It's so subtle, okay? And hypomania is part of bipolar 2 versus a standard depression. But it's so subtle, you won't recognize it, okay? But the way they write about it in the literature and the research, oh, yeah, you're supposed to see racing thoughts, elevated mood, scattered thinking, what else? distractibility, euphoria, grandiosity. You don't see that. You don't see that even close, okay? And when I say that, I'm saying, because I sat down with these patients, okay? And they didn't look like this. So either I've got the oddest subset of patients who have depression and bipolar that we treated successfully, or there's a lot more people that are basically not getting diagnosed correctly, and it's taking years and years and years. And why is it taking years? Because they're saying it's a form of depression. So let's throw another antidepressant at it. Okay, let's add two. Okay, and while we're at it, let's add a couple anti-anxiety. So when you have those little anxious episodes or panic episodes, let's throw a couple rounds of anti-anxiety meds to it. Okay, no. Okay, like I said, and I've seen people with busloads of diagnoses that mirror, this bipolar, but they don't call it bipolar 2. Okay, so again, hypomania means low intensity, low volume. Okay, let me ask you this. Obviously, it's rhetorical. Nobody's answering. But what if you saw somebody who, you know, if you had a mild raise in blood sugar, is anybody going to notice that? Probably not. Okay, versus a full out, you know, diabetic response, well, yeah, that's going to be really observable. Well, that's the difference between mania, which is going to be very observable. Okay, there is a point of mania, which is bipolar 1, okay, where you have a hard time sleeping, but you have a lot of energy, okay? Sleep, you know, if you get 2 hours a night, you're golden, okay? And people can maintain that pace for quite a while. All right, but when it dials up another level and another level, that's when you start seeing racing thoughts, concentration problems, a ton of distractibility. They'll just bounce from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And then you're also going to see substance abuse because it's too miserable to live like that. It's way too miserable to live like that. Okay, you can't stay go, 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 go. Your body needs to dial it down. Okay, so imagine this on a continuum. Okay, just like a number line. And as you dial it up, you get more energy and mania. But the way they're describing bipolar 2 is that mania is with the depression. And in bipolar 2, it isn't. So what is happening is that we are calling these people, you know, basically they're just depressed. They're just depressed. They're just depressed. Because if they had hypomania, they'd be running around everywhere. They'd have elevated mood. They'd be grandiose. First of all, anybody who's had depression, lead the show. These people are not grandiose. They don't even know what the word means. Okay. Elevated self-esteem. No. If anybody's battled depression, they don't have elevated self-esteem. And I don't usually rip through the diagnostic categories, but in this case, I am. And for good reason. They're still not getting people better. If you're talking this amount of years, then clearly bipolar 2 needs to be reconfigured from the top down, because people aren't getting better fast enough, and we're going to lose those people either for good treatment or even worse, suicide. People can't constantly be volleyed around and never feel any hope. You can change their thinking only so much, but when the biochemistry is involved, and that's what bipolar is, it isn't just behavior, okay? It's the biochemistry in your brain, okay? And if you get too much of an adrenaline dump, if anybody's ever had adrenaline, you can go from panicky to full-blown manic, okay? Boom, 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 boom. You know that fight or flight? It's hard to think in fight or flight, okay? The heavier it is, the harder it is to think, okay? So that's mania. That's more bipolar 1, much more visible, clearer lines, harder to miss. People alternate between depressive episodes and manic episodes, okay? And then in between, they may shift out. So what are the main combinations of understanding bipolar? I would love to rename this condition because it just has got bad rap and bad intel. And it's not necessary. This is a very fixable condition. But you have to know what you're looking at and how to describe it, okay? The patients have to know how to describe it. And basically, I've worked with my clients to reverse engineer the process, okay? Since I can't rewrite what's in the DSM-5T about this diagnosis and 8 million articles that follow, because once the medical says it's like this, then everybody else copies it. In this particular arena, it's not accurate, in my opinion, okay? So you look at the depression. When you're looking at bipolar, you're looking at depression, you're looking at anxiety, okay? And you're looking at a combo effect, okay? Think about putting them both together, okay? So sometimes you have this depression, sometimes you have this anxiety, and sometimes you have them both going on, okay? But now think about intensity, okay? So depression is basically low energy, low motivation, difficulty focusing, a lot of sleep problems, insomnia, or the flip is you sleep all the time. And that's because the biochemistry is affected. Sleep, appetite, and mood are all on the same axes, biological axes. Okay, you affect one, sleep, appetite, mood, you're going to have a domino effect. And that's where some people start to figure something's wrong. They can't sleep, they're edgy. Anxiety can do that as well, create sleep problems. Okay, but the depression is no energy. And anxiety can be like, have some panicky energy, okay? And that's not fun. And spurts of it, okay, with a lot of worry. Bipolar 2, if I were to use the distinctions that I've seen make sense, hypomania, I don't even like the word anymore because they misuse it. They use it as an interchange with mania, and they're very different, okay? A mild elevation, let's say you're functioning at a minus 5 because you're so depressed, and you start to move up the number line, okay? You're going up and you're at minus 3, minus 2. Well, technically, and minus 1, now that's a mood elevation because you started out at minus 5 and you moved up to minus 1. That technically is a mood elevation. Now, what might that look like? What that will look like is people say, well, I kind of woke up, felt normal, got stuff done, and, you know, maybe I went out to eat, you know, maybe I went shopping, because when you're depressed, you don't feel like doing any of that. Maybe I got some organizing. I organized some stuff in the house, stuff that I needed to take care of. Okay, keep in mind that a person who has depression doesn't have depression continuously. Okay, there's points where there's normal mood, where the mood is fine. But people describe having, basically, they just say, oh, I just had a better day. I just felt normal. But it's really technically a little bit of a mood elevation because they were at minus 5 and now they're operating at maybe minus 1 and they noticeably feel better. It's kind of like when a fever breaks, okay? All of a sudden you're like, ugh, I don't have that horrible fever. I can go do something, okay? And that's a lot different from, you know, running around, spending tons of money, distractible thoughts, and being on the high end of mania, which is not necessarily good judgment. Sometimes when people get too manic, they lose their judgment. Okay. But it's a far cry. So superimposing those two definitions over each other and saying this is bipolar 2, the problem is people go through these checklists. They talk to the provider and they say, well, have you ever had a manic episode? And they say, no. Okay, well, you're not bipolar because you have to have a hypomanic episode, and the person's going to be like, what the heck is that? I just feel normal or I feel down. I feel normal or I feel down. It is so subtle, it's very hard to describe. the energy change. But it's enough to get some things done, but they're not wild. Okay. A hypomanic person isn't wild. They just feel better. Okay. So the differences and why these definitions matter is if you're just a straight depression, a flat depression, and it doesn't shift out at all, meaning an improvement, okay? Because hypomania generally makes the clients not complain. They do not complain about that, okay? So other people noticing hypomanic episodes, that's laughable, okay? Because it's very hard to notice. It's just like, oh, she was normal, he was normal, and that's it, okay? But they're really describing hypomania as mania, and it's worlds apart. It's completely worlds apart. So people don't get diagnosed with bipolar. They get diagnosed with depression. That's the lead. Okay, some get diagnosed with anxiety, and that's another thing, okay, instead. Okay, but as I said, the bottom line is with the depression, depression is the leading reason why bipolar 2 is missed. They just say, oh, it's depression. They're still depressed, so let's just try all these different antidepressants. Well, the problem with all the antidepressants is if you have any genetic leaning towards bipolar, what will happen is antidepressants can trigger a manic response, okay, where you might not have been manic, okay? It's just information. It's very fixable, okay? It's not the end of the world. I've seen that with clients, and we recognized it right away and said, no, wrong, okay? And, you know, it was corrected right away. But what happens? You know, what is the distinction between a depression and a bipolar 2? A bipolar 2 is mostly depression, okay? That's by definition. But saying they're grandiose, they have elevated self-esteem, all these things, that does not happen with depressed people, okay? The people who work with depressed people will tell you that. Okay, even if they have a bipolar 2, they will still tell you that. Okay, so what needs to happen is they need to be on a different kind of medication. There was a, which report was it? Oh, Bridges to Recovery. And the dangers of bipolar disorder misdiagnosed as depression. September 1st, 16, Elizabeth Kvarnstrom, okay, and she talked about some case studies where depression basically was misdiagnosed, or bipolar was misdiagnosed as depression. And one of the case studies, this fella had 8 different medical providers over a period of 10 years before they figured out it was bipolar. Everybody said it was depression. Okay, that's a huge problem. Okay, and that is the problem that I'm speaking to. And another, I'm not going to start because I have some disagreements with the article, but other quotes from professional articles are, chances are a doctor will not observe manic or hypomanic symptoms during an evaluation, especially when a patient is in a depressed state, okay? It's because hypomania is so subtle, it's like a rise in your blood sugar, okay? Can you tell when somebody has a slight rise in their blood sugar? You cannot. And that's what I'm going to say about hypomania. Very, very hard to see. That's why it gets missed. So what is needed instead? We need to look at mood stabilizers instead for certain types of these depressions. They respond better. They do better. It just clips it better, in my opinion. I've seen people do better on a mood stabilizer. And I'm not talking about multiple meds, okay? That has not been the case. But if the average person has to see multiple providers, that tells us that the intel they're giving the providers is inaccurate. And this stuff on the internet spreads like wildfire. And if you can't tell the difference between mania and hypomania, you have a huge problem. Okay. Like I said, it's like a volume distinction. It's the distinction between barely audible to going deaf. Okay. You can't miss the going deaf music. Okay. And mania, you're generally going to see. It's going to become quite observable. But people are describing hypomania as evident to other people. I'm sorry, it's not even basically evident to the patient who's experiencing it. So, as providers, as therapists, I have found that teaching the clients how to recognize shifts in depression, what a shift might look like, far more effective. Okay, because when they communicate with their providers, they give better information. And if the person has already been tried on, say, 2 antidepressants, not doing, I mean, it's standard to try, in a case of depression, antidepressants. You go there and you might try a couple of them. But once they don't work, you don't dial up the volume on the antidepressants. And people say it still didn't work. And then they throw in a couple anti-anxiety meds at me, and then I just kind of give up, okay? So sometimes I call it the low end of kind of the trip hazard. Bipolar 2 is really the trip hazard, okay? It's this little fine line that nobody sees you crossing over. And it's not a big deal. It's just that the medication has to change. And if you just keep doing the same thing over and over again with different providers, like I said, the biggest problem is some of the best and the brightest are still confusing these definitions. So when these graduates come out, and even psych nurses, although I have found psych nurses to be quite open to information, because if I can give them information, I'm going to say, but it looks like this and it looks like that. Can we try this now? Usually they're okay with it. Okay, but if you want to get into a big headache, try to get into a definition war. Part of the problem with hypomania and bipolar 2 is they say duration has to be, I forget how many more months or years, it's 4 something. It's kind of crazy. 4 days. Hypomania has to last 4 days. Listen, I have never seen anybody with a mild mood elevation with depression that lasts 4 days. Okay. First of all, they won't notice it. If they do notice it, they just say, I felt pretty good. So I got some things done. I felt normal, quote, normal. Normal doesn't qualify for elevated mood. Normal doesn't qualify for grandiosity. Okay. Increased self-esteem. Oh, BS. Okay. When you break a fever, okay, after you've had a fever, are you running around crazy? No, you're like, oh gosh, I finally, the headache stopped. I can think, okay, maybe I'll actually eat something and get something done today. You broke the fever, right? Well, that's what hypomania is. You broke the fever. So if you describe this to your provider, and I say we have to reverse engineer this because there's a lot of bad intel on bipolar 2. That's why we keep missing it. Bipolar 1, I say the intel's fine. Bipolar 2, the intel's bad. So if you talk to your provider and you start understanding little bit of shifts, okay, and you try the antidepressants, see how you do. But generally the rule is 2 antidepressants, try mood stabilizer, see if it clips it better. A lot of times I have seen where the mood stabilizer just knocks it out. Okay. It's like a bad rash, and it just sort of, you know, cleans it up, or an antibiotic. It's just better at getting rid of it. There's a case for antidepressants and there's a case for mood stabilizers, but people have to understand and not read all. Unfortunately, people are going to read for information and they're going to say, oh, wow, you have all this grandiosity. And my clients say, I'd say, did you take a look at that? Yeah, but, you know, I never feel like that. I don't have elevated mood. I don't feel grandiose. And they're right, they don't. So then, and then their doctor agrees with them and says, no, you don't. You have depression. Well, guess what? We're locked up for another couple of years with bad diagnoses and bad treatments. But as I said, there's ways around this. And the way around it is find a therapist who works with bipolar, okay? Because they're very familiar with the shifts and what to look for. And when you do that, not a therapist who works with depression or anxiety. Generally, people who work with depression or anxiety do not understand how bipolar configures, okay? So I'm saying, if you think you may be bipolar or you want to rule it out, find a bipolar therapist, okay? Because then they will connect you with psych meds, a provider, whether that's a psychiatrist or a psychiatric nurse. And when the information is better provided for them, generally they do better, you know. And if you also have to be knowledgeable about what the debates look like, okay? People want to talk about duration, you know, how long this has gone on. Hypomania has to last 4 days. Who's making these criterion? Clearly they haven't interviewed enough clients, okay? It's a garbage criterion, the duration. You must meet it here, and you must meet it here, and it must look like this. And it doesn't, okay? It absolutely doesn't. And as I said, I'm talking from the big guns down. They've got it wrong. So if you're willing to try something different, I say go to bipolar therapist, a therapist that works with bipolar and very familiar with it. They will assist in getting you some medic management, help you look at some of those shifts, help you to understand. Like I said, there isn't a lot of shifting. It's mostly depression. So that's why everybody diagnoses. That's why all the providers say, hey, it's depression. It's like a no-brainer. But there's a little subtlety in there, and it's hard, okay? But the definitions for hypomania make it a disaster. So you have to understand you're kind of going from negative to feeling okay. And basically, it's also degrees of depression, okay? You might have a -5 depression, and other days you might have a 0 depression, okay? There's a little bit of shifting in the amount of depression in bipolar 2. So the regular depression kind of is, I would call it like a one size fits all. And the bipolar 2, I'm going to say there's a little shift in terms of getting relief from the depression. But depression is the predominant feature in bipolar 2. So that's why everybody misdiagnoses it and treats it as a depression, because that's really what it looks like. So in some ways, we certainly understand how this error has happened, but I'm thinking we should be making some improvements on this, and we should be doing better by now. So I say go to the therapist. The therapist can coordinate with the med provider, and hopefully some of these words, you know, sometimes people have been messed up by definitions of words, okay? And I always say, forget the definition. What does the client look like? Can you describe it? Okay? That's far more important than reading definitions that don't necessarily fit. Everybody wants to make sure they understand the definition. Man, you are going to miss the whole game if that's what you're looking for. You have to understand how it presents clinically. There, I said it, and I hope you were able to understand the way I outlined it. You know, my goal is not an attack on the industry, but at the end of the day, the definitions don't work. We got to get people better faster, and they almost have to lose the hypomanic definition. They have to, or just understand how to redefine it as just feeling better, like a break from a fever. That works instead. And don't, whatever you do, don't call it mania. Mania is a huge volume control difference, okay? As I said, the difference between being able to hear something is hypomania, and the difference between going deaf is mania. You should be able to qualify and not put these two in the same category. Thank you. All right. If you like the way I describe things, you might be interested in my book, and it's available on Amazon, and it's called Bipolar is Not an STD. And I talk about my work with clients and specifically mood disorders and personality disorders, relationship issues. And I talk a little bit about myself and a little misery early in before I entered the field. So if you have any interest, it's available on Amazon. And thank you for joining me. I look forward to having you back.